If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So, but the Spirit of God within you makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, you know, what is maketh intercession? It is the act of acting as a go-between. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. That is a transitional verse. Paul is going from talking about a lot of things about sin, right, in the previous chapter, and then he kind of moves into what it's like to be into Christ Jesus in chapter 8. The carnal mind versus the spiritual mind, the spirit, right? The sons of God. But who are these sons of God? What makes you a son of God? Now, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I don't believe in free will. Because the scriptures teach the opposite of free will. The only way all things can work for good to them that love God is if there's no free will. Because otherwise, people's free will would keep getting in the way. And God would have to interfere with their free will, and it would not be free will anymore. Also, chapter 7. You know, that which I would, I do not. To will is present with me, but not, you know, in bondages. That's not free. Man is not free. Man is a servant to sin. Man is a slave to his passions. Man is also a slave to just who he is. Meaning, I can't just wake up tomorrow and be a different person. I'm just going to wake up and I'm not going to be Paul anymore. I'm going to be just a new guy. I mean, sometimes people do that, but that's part of their personality too. I mean, if someone has a split personality, they got a split personality. Or if they're the kind of person who changes on a dime, or you can have a lifestyle change, but that's all part of predestination. See, humans are incredibly complicated. We aren't just like, people say, what are we, robots? We're much more complicated than robots. But we have destiny. We have destiny. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the beginning of Paul's talking of predestination. See, predestination is considered a controversial topic. But unlike some other controversial topics that people wrestle about, like the nature of God and prophecy and so on and so forth, predestination is a doctrine which you can actually go to a concordance, look up the word predestination, elect, election, chosen, terms like these which point to places where you can just piece together all these scriptures that will create, there is a biblical teaching of predestination. And most of the people who deny it basically just flat out don't want to agree with the plain thing that is being said in the scripture. And That sentiment is something I cannot... I used to believe in free will, and then... I just, after a while, I got tired of doctrines I had been raised up in. And reading the scripture, I began to see myself. I was always making excuses. I was always saying, well, it seems to say that, but this is what it really means. Right? And that may be, at times, a way to deal with difficult, isolated passages. But you cannot do away with whole portions of scripture on that basis, especially when you have collaborating scriptures and stuff that where you have precept upon precept, line upon line, and it's that's the way it is. You can't just undo it. Who he did foreknow. Now God knows everything, right? But this is almost a reference to the book of Jeremiah. It's that where it says in Jeremiah chapter 1, or maybe it was 2. Yeah, I think it was actually chapter 2. No, it was chapter 1, verse 5. It says, the word of the Lord says to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. Okay. What does that mean? Well, he says, I knew you. There's something about when God says, hey, I know you, that is important. Here are the words of the Lord Jesus. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says this. You know, that all these people, you know, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What he's saying is, if you are someone, if you are one of his elect, which simply, elect just means selected, chosen, right? It means he knows you. There are people he knows, there are people he doesn't know. Now, God knows everything, but it is in a symbolic sense of he's denying knowledge of them. He denies. He that denies me before men, will I deny before my Father in heaven. And even if we are unfaithful, he is faithful. You think about Peter, he denied Christ 3 times, right? And if you were a letter of the law kind of believer, you would say, well, then Jesus is going to have to deny Peter. But he forgave Peter.